Hello, everybody. Welcome in to 2025. We're back with the Pocket Aces Racing Team. This is the Aces Up the Sleeve 2024 Year in Review, and I am joined today by Jared Shoemaker, Mark Wampler, Managing Partners of Pocket Aces Racing, and we're going to sit down. We're going to recap the year that was 2024, and as always, this is one of our longest episodes every time we drop it, so if you haven't yet, grab yourself a snack and some water and buckle in, because we have a lot to talk about. But first and foremost, Happy New Year to you both. How are you doing? And, you know, at 1:45 in the new year.
So far, so good. Had a great new year so far. And just looking at the weather here, says we're going to get Snowmageddon next week. So start getting ready for that. But doing great otherwise.
Yeah, nothing like hearing there's going to be 8 inches of snow on Sunday.
right.
Jared, how are you
Kroger's
doing?
Kroger's will be packed on Friday and Saturday, that's for sure.
Shop early, folks.
Yeah. You know, all good here. I'm just, late night, last night, celebrating with the family and kids and all that stuff. So voice is a little hoarse, but, it's all good.
All right. Well, let's kick off our year in review then. As many of our partners know, but maybe some of our listeners don't. Our year in 2024 started out a little bit slow, but Bodie's Rose did get us going on January the 27th to start 2024. She was our first win. And then we kind of, I guess, built up some steam from there. I don't know if maybe that's the right word for it. Would you agree, Mark, that we kind of built up steam from there?
Yeah, the year started off slow, and that was a great win for Bodie's Rose. I think she was 25-1. She beat Open Company at Turfway. And, I wish, we could have maybe got her some more on the poly. I think she kind of liked it. But, I can't help but think with Bodie's Rose, that injury, that I always thought she was meant to be a really good filly. I remember having, when we bought her, as high as expectations for her on the racetrack as any horse we'd bought in a while, Ohio bred or Kentucky bred. But I just can't help but think that injury, and it was a severe injury to her, to a critical part of her body, to be a racehorse, her stifle. There was a price to be paid. She healed up from it, but I think there was a price to be paid for it. And she won some races for us, and this one she was impressive in. But in her story ended up having a happy ending at the end of the year. But she started the year out for us in a bang. It was, in general, it was slow early, but to answer your question, yes, it was slow early part of the year, but definitely picked up ahead of the steam, and we finished up strong.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I imagine, like, and February kind of maybe was a little bit of a hint of the year to come, I think, for Irish Aces, because that was his, wasn't the Grade 3 Tampa Bay Stakes his graded debut at that point?
It was. I was there for the race. I remember that. It was just a great day for the partners that came down. It was February. It was Tampa. It was 82 degrees. And it was the first time I remember being outside and being warm in a while, and there was a lot of us there, and we had a great time. I think it was a little bit of a wake-up call for Irish Aces, facing those kind of horses. The horses he ran in that race wound up, spending the rest of the year running in some big races, graded stakes the rest of the year. And, we're thinking about running him again in that race. I don't love the stretch there. It's short. Don't love the rider situation. It might, but it might wind up being it's a place to just get him started, to get him, a race into him before we do some bigger things with him. So it's being mentioned. Again, Irish Aces, it was kind of like Pocket Aces as a whole. He started out slow during the year, you know, and mainly because we were jumping him up a lot in competition. And but it started out slow for him, and you know, he finished he was fifth in that race. He ran admirably. There were, he was close to some really nice horses, but he would get better as the year goes along too.
Well, exactly, and you're right. He later on in his year, it got a lot better for him. But in February, you know, excitingly, we had our new arrivals, Homer Mangel 24 and Spellbook 24, both fillies. They were born in February as well. They made their grand entrance on a nice and chilly, chilly month.
Yes, had two nice babies born. The mothers did well. They both. Spellbook and Homeroom Angel turned out to, they took to it like ducks to water, being mamas, very good mothers, had two healthy fillies for us, like you say. And you know, with those babies, you're happy they're born alive, you know, and everybody's okay and survives everything. Both those fillies have been very healthy. Good looking, attractive horses. And you know, we didn't, as the year wore on, we decided not to sell them as babies, hold on to them as yearlings. And you know, those horses are special. There's three in the whole world, there's three Pocket Aces bred horses out there that I can think of. And you know, I feel like there's always a special place in our hearts for those Pocket Aces bred horses, you know.
Yep.
And this will be a big year for both those fillies, you know, in 2025. Do we keep them to race? Can we make money and sell them? But both of them are healthy and happy, and weaned from their mothers and out living on their own nowadays. But you know, February was a great month to have both those fillies born alive and healthy.
Oh yeah. And kind of as we saw them later on in the year, I think what struck me is, as I was talking to a lot of the farm managers and the folks that work with them every day, is how everyone pretty much says the same, that for being the debut babies of both of these mares, they're really nice, and boy, are they opinionated. They have an opinion on everything.
Definitely. And, you know, and especially with Spellbook, there's some, as the year wore on, there's some smoke, where there's smoke, there's fire. Spellbook's half sister is starting to really heat up the work tab, the 2-year-old, now 3-year-old. So hopefully we can get some good pedigree updates on Spellbook as well for the Mattoli and for Spellbook.
Absolutely. Well, and then March, we kind of, I think March was another one of our kind of stepping stones for a lot of our horses. And as we mentioned earlier, you know, Irish Aces, he once again made an appearance in graded company. It was the Grade 2 Muniz Memorial Classic Stakes at Fairgrounds. I've heard before and on several occasions, and maybe, you know, for some of our listeners who don't know, this stretch is very different from the Tampa stretch. I've been told this is a very long home stretch and that it kind of fit him more to his running style.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the longest stretch in North America, isn't it?
Sorry.
The dogs are here in 2025, everybody.
Hey, stop it. Stop it.
See, the babies are opinionated. The dogs are opinionated. It's a good year in 2025.
Okay.
There we go.
I'll be back scratching at my door any minute.
Yeah, it's one of them, Jared. It seems like sometimes I hear from people it's a Hawthorne, you know, has a really long stretch, or you know, but the ones I know that are longer are Fairgrounds, Hawthorne, Churchill. There's where you have a lot of good straight ahead ground to run on. I just didn't at that time and place. I was there for the race. And I didn't love a mile and an eighth for him. You know, maybe this year he winds up being a mile and an eighth horse. But I also felt like, you know, he'd gone through his condition, not all the way through his conditions in 2023. But we did, you know, we put him in the deep end pretty quick, you know, in both these races, and he had to adjust, and I think it paid off for him later in the year. But you know, there was a little bit of shock on stepping up to the varsity team for him in races like these. He was running to get some of the best turf horses in the country in these races, and he was holding his own. But it took a couple runs against those types for him to really hit his stride later on in the year.
Yeah, fair.
And I did want to mention Cyclone Ranger in March. That was probably the low point for me personally of the year. We put a lot of effort into getting him back and did all the right things by him, and he was a warrior on the track. He did everything you asked him to do. He laid it on the line. He was tough as nails, and we brought him back. We got him back in March, but about 2 weeks later, he had a reoccurrence of the stomach problems that he had earlier in his career, the colic, and we ended up having to put him down. And that was, like I say, for me personally, that was the low light of the year. That was very difficult. But it's part of racing. And it's part of the history of Pocket Aces Racing for 2024. It happened, you know. But yeah. I just wanted to say a shout out for Cyclone Ranger, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and Jared, you even told me that Cyclone Ranger was like kind of like one of your favorite horses. He was very near and dear to you, just because of how valiant he was.
Love that horse. I mean, he just ran his eyeballs out every time he stepped onto the track. And I mean, I just, from the time we got him, man, I just fell in love with him. And that one hit really, really hard for me. It's still to this day, it's just the one that makes me sick.
Yeah. Yeah, I felt very similarly kind of when we lost Conjuring, because I'd spent so much time with her at Susan's barn. And this was a couple years back. It wasn't this year, but it was a couple, you know, 2 or 3 years back. But I felt the same way when we lost Conjuring. I was so upset about it for the longest time. And
it's hard to get over, yeah.
Yeah. So we'll kind of gently segue into April. And on that note, we did kind of have a quiet April, but we did have our open house. We love having these open houses at this point. It's kind of like our annual spring celebration. And I don't know, maybe you both agree with me, but I think our open house was extremely successful. We had a lot of good results come out of it, I think.
Yeah, you know, it's I've got people, as soon as one's over, they're asking me when the next one's going to be. And we've got people that, I know not everybody can make it, but we have a lot of our partners that come in from, you know, other parts of the country. They make long drives. They make a big weekend out of it. We get people tickets for Keeneland, and it's an event that people look forward to. And even if they're not seeing their horses, if their horses are already at the track and they're not getting a chance to see them at the farms, you know, they're still making the trip. And it's grown every year, I think, since we've done it. And we're going to continue to do it and continue to try to make it a bigger and better event. We got one of our partners who is in the process of working on a fundraiser for the Permanently Disabled Jockey Fund to run in conjunction with our spring open house. So, you know, there'll be obviously much more news to come on all of that. But we want to make it it's a big event for us. We want to make it even bigger as we move forward.
Yeah. Who's the guy that drove the tour bus?
Oh, that was not until October.
That was the October one. Yeah, that was the fall one. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get into that more later. But like I said, it's getting bigger and bigger. So,
Exciting, and all the more reason for folks to come out and join us. As it you know, grows and expands, and we kind of do more and more. And I'm personally also looking forward to it. I look forward to them every year. I love seeing everybody coming out. So I'm very much looking forward to it. So we'll move our way into May then from that note on the open house. And then so we kind of get into May and we kind of start picking up pace, and we start getting into that buildup of steam that we promised you at the top of the show. And Double Neat breaks his maiden the 29th at Horseshoe. Yes. And then Mama Lou returned and was kind of making her successful return to the track as well from her injury. And she won a claimer May the 30th at Belterra Park. So we kind of picked them up one behind the other in May.
Yeah, I was, you know, I really, Double Neat was, he's a horse that, you know, 2 or 3 years ago or 4 or 5 years ago, we would have probably had a lot easier time of holding on to, keeping for a while, going through his conditions with him. I count him as a successful horse for us. He got 2 wins out of not a ton of starts. He had some ability. With the landscape of racing the way it is in Kentucky, you know, it's harder to hold on to a horse like that. You know, we'll keep an eye on him for going forward in his career. He's got some one in him and some try. Mama Lou, that race was special to me in a way because we'd taken such great care of a horse that was, you know, I just thought that was her winning, coming back from that eye injury. That was a very, very, that was probably one of the worst eye injuries I have ever dealt with as a racing manager. And for her to make it back and for her to win races and I think it shows people what kind of stable Pocket Aces Racing is. We had a horse that was running in inexpensive claiming races, but we spent a ton of money to save this horse's eye for her welfare for the rest of her life, you know? And she rewarded us with our patience and, you know, the money that was put into it. And I was great. I was just really glad to see her make it back to the races and win.
Yeah, absolutely. So we roll into June, and now we're kind of high in the summer period. Racing once again is starting to pick up for us. Irish Aces now runs third June the 1st in the Grade 3 Arlington Stakes, ironically held at Churchill Downs, not where it should have been held. And then in June, we went shopping, and that's always a dangerous word around here. And we picked up Malia, Truly an Honor, Aces Honor, and Temple City Temptress all in June.
Yeah. And doing something that we, you know, that's not typically the time of year that we're buying horses. I mean, we have done it before, but, you know, it started off with Malia, who we'd had our eyes on for a while. And, you know, Mark can kind of take it from there. But it's, you know, we kind of stepped out of our normal routine in this June to pick up 4 horses.
Yeah. We went all night shopping.
I think our partners are going to, you know, this is going to become more of the norm. There's going to be more horses moving along because there's more claiming, because there's more money. We're going to have to start getting creative about how to add more talent to the stables. So would you agree, Jared, that going forward, you're probably going to see more of this getting started early with digital sales and things like that, and private sales, to help keep our numbers strong?
We want to make sure that we have plenty of offerings in the stable for our partners and new potential partners, and you know, as we've talked about, and we've talked about having a whole show on this, and we probably will here in the next little bit, but the nature of the game in Kentucky has changed so much, and you've even heard us talk about it if you've listened to us at any stretch at all. And we're just going to have to be, we're probably going to lose more horses in the future a little more often than we typically do, and we're going to have to get more horses and replace them and have, you know, keep the stable up and functioning and running and offerings available and keep people with enough horses. And it's just where we are, especially in Kentucky, and you know, it's similar in New York, it's similar you know, throughout the entire Arkansas, Oakland meet in Arkansas. I have not followed as much with Fairgrounds, but they've really upped their purses there this year. So, you know, I could see claiming activity bumping up in Louisiana as well. So, it's just kind of a different animal, but especially in Kentucky, probably more so than anywhere else.
What I also wanted to say on that Irish Ace is placing third in the Arlington Stakes at Churchill. That was a key situation, him hitting the board in that race, because we were having problems getting into races on preference systems. And that stepped him up. He became a graded stakes placed horse in that race. And that set the table for him later in the year to actually get into some of these races, get into the Tappet, which he, you know, bigger races he won later in the year. A big key was getting this graded stakes placing into him, so he became eligible for, or I shouldn't say eligible, I should just say he became a lot higher up on the preference list of these nominations. And so that was a key race for him.
Yeah, absolutely. And then July, we started cycling into our winning streaks. You know, we had a bunch of horses who, you know, picked up victories, broke their maidens. Microphone ended up winning a claimer. You know, Carousing broke her maiden. Irish Aces, again, runs third in a very, very salty Saratoga allowance. And then Malia also, in her, I believe the Jim Morgan Tada was her stakes debut. But she ran third in that race in, like, her second career start or something like that. Well, so
that was her racing debut.
Oh, that was her racing debut. All right. So she was even less experienced than I thought she was.
She's been black type her whole life.
There you go. Her entire career, she's been a stakes horse. And then in July, we also picked up St. Nick's, who I'm personally very, very excited about, as he is the son of one of our alumni horses, if we want to call them that, in Wisteria. So I mean, it's a long list. We had a lot happening in July. So wherever you want to start, Mark, we can start with St. Nick's. We can start with Malaya, wherever you feel like getting going.
Well, let's start with Microphone. You know, and I believe that was our first victory at Monmouth. That's one of my little things with Pocket Aces. I like to tick off places we've never won races before. And
that is correct.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think Jared had told me that was our first Monmouth win. So that was great. And Microphone ended up being a horse that, you know, as he got older, as he got some more miles on him, he couldn't string. This was a big effort. He won. It was a tough race. He just couldn't, with his ankles, he couldn't string two or three big efforts together anymore, you know, and it would take us months to get those, you know, months and months to get those ankles, you know, where he was 100% again. So it would be his last hurrah for us, but he was a nice horse to campaign. We got a couple wins out of him. The Malia race at Belterra, you know, who knows if we'll ever even do that again, have a horse hit the board in a stakes race first time out. Generally, that happens with a two-year-old. And, you know, our history with two-year-olds, where, you know, we buy horses that usually take a little bit more time to get ready. But that was neat and interesting. And we sent Carousing up to pick up her victory there. That was great. And getting St. Nick's out of Wisteria, I just thought, you know, it didn't work out for one of our partners selling him for a lot of money, but I think really Pocket Aces was the beneficiary. I mean, he was a great looking horse. His sister just won a grade two. I really couldn't understand why, you know, the buying public, you know, wasn't willing to give at the sales, you know, a lot of money for him. But, you know, like I say, I think Pocket Aces is the beneficiary of that. He's a really athletic horse. He vetted out good. He's got great breeding, so I think that'll pay off dividends for Pocket Aces for a long time.
Just as a side thought, whose bells are those by chance?
I'm moving the phone.
Okay, well, I kept hearing it. And I'm like, are we wind chiming? Am I hearing it? Like, I wasn't sure.
All right, so, you know, we talk about August a little bit. This is a big, big month for us. One of the biggest ever, I think, probably for us. before the winning started, we had Triumphant Spirit made her debut at Ellis Park. She ran a really nice fourth against a solid field. And, you know, she's just been getting a little bit better each time out. And, really, really looking forward to her coming back from her injury next spring and with some time to grow and mature and, you know, time with her head down, seeing what she can do. But we had a big win with Double Neat at Ellis Park, August 26th. It was, I think, a $30,000 claimer. And it was a really nice effort on his part. And then we send two horses to Kentucky Downs. And we've sent horses to Kentucky Downs and have really never had any luck ever at all. And we sent Oscar Season for his debut. And we had, Brennan had said, leading up to that he was ready and well before that day. But he kept telling Mark, I want to wait for Kentucky Downs. I want to wait for Kentucky Downs, because he really felt like the horse had some talent and could be dangerous there. And, me being the
eternal optimist,
I just kept thinking, let's just get him. Let's get him somewhere in where if we think he can win it, has a chance to hit the board at Kentucky Downs. Let's go ahead and get a win at Ellis Park or something. But Brendan definitely knew what he was talking about there. And we also sent Irish Aces to the Tappet Stake. Oscar Season got us started off right that day, running a mile maiden special weight and what was it, like $180,000 purse or something crazy, like $150,000 purse, $160,000, I don't know, something.
It was massive.
He got over $100,000 in earnings for it. I know that. So I think it was $180,000.
$102,000
is what he. Yeah. So, and he just did it so easily, for a first time starter. To do what he did and just ran away with a race that on paper looked pretty salty. Of course, we had to do it in Rigney Racing Silks because there was a mistake. Kentucky Downs runs 7 days every year. To say that their folks are all, with it all the time, it would be, yeah, probably a stretch, but it's not, no fault of theirs. They just don't get to do it enough, and our stakes, our silks got misplaced in the jocks room, so they just put on some that looked close. But anyway, that was Lil Machado, gave us a great ride, and then, so already, we're just ecstatic, and I will say this: we went up there with a bunch of folks from Keeneland and associated with Keeneland, and they said, okay, as soon as we get on the bus, as soon as the last race is over, we're on the bus and we're out. And then one of them, unless you guys win, of course, the Tappet Stakes, then just take your time to celebrate. So that was part of it on the way up there. And then Irish Aces did just that. He had one hell of a race. Tyler gave him a great ride, timed everything perfectly. And then he got up just at the last, couple strides to get a nose in front and pick up a $500,000 listed stakes win. And we're walking around with a couple, all the trophies and 5 minutes after the race, they're trying to find us on the bus and saying, let's go, we got to get out of here. They didn't let us have any time to celebrate at all.
No.
About that.
Scandalous.
I think, obviously it's the highlight of the year. It's the day and the races of the year. I would argue it's, as far as an accomplishment for Pocket Aces Racing and their partners, to me, I think it's probably, could even exceed the things Temple City Terror did. You know, it wasn't a graded stakes, but to have, you know, both those things happen on one day. And just also from a personal level, I never really thought about us even having the ability to win an owner's title anywhere, but it dawned on me with Kentucky Downs being so short that, you know, it levels the playing field for owners like Pocket Aces Racing. Like, we could win that, and it's a prestigious one too. So we got two wins, and it in this year, 24, and in 23, it only took three wins to win it. So I really would like to set a goal in 2025 and going forward to win that owner's title at Kentucky Downs, get the three wins, and, you know, hopefully in whatever given year we do it, it's enough. But I think that's a doable thing for Pocket Aces, and I'd really like to see that as a goal for 2025. And I intend in working with Jared to kind of position and maneuver. Now, you know, the way the horses come along is the way they come along. You know, you need to not let the cart drag the horse, you know, but in any way we can massage it as we are getting into like May and June, to have as many horses prepared to run their best at Kentucky Downs, that will be the plan for 2025.
All right. Interesting.
Of course, my concern is, you know, the year that we almost did it, we didn't really have a plan. And now that we're going to be so focused on it, we won't get, you know, that's the way it's going to go in horse racing. But, you know, it's definitely on our radar going forward.
I don't want to say it's lofty aspirations, but I think it's something good to shoot for. Like, Kentucky Downs is a lot of fun. It's good racing every single year. The fields are fantastic. So I think it'll be a pretty impressive accomplishment to kind of hang our hat on as perennial leading owners at Kentucky Downs. That sounds nice, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It does. I think our partners would enjoy that. So and being part of that. So it's something we're going to, and it's, you know, we're as well positioned to do that as any owners, really, in a short meet like that we are. Well, others will have more numbers, but we have turf horses. We're based in Kentucky. It's doable for us, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm coming for you, Ken Ramsey.
Yeah, that's right.
There we go. We've thrown down the gauntlet. Here we go. So, ironically enough, though, maybe the Rigney Silks were a signal of things to come, because I know, and this ties, he kind of ties into Bodie's Rose, but her half-brother Jonathan's Way ended up breaking his maiden at Saratoga and went on to becoming a TDN Rising Star, which was just fantastic news, I think, for her, as much as it was for us, in all honesty, as weird as it sounds to have somebody else's horse winning.
That came out of nowhere. Now, we knew that Bodie's Rose's half brother had sold for a lot of money as a weanling, but, you know, that had been two or three years ago. And he just shows up in the entries at Saratoga. He's working up a storm. He had sold for something like $290,000 of Vekoma, and he won it. He became one of those talking two-year-olds of the Saratoga meet. The way he won the race, he kind of got left at the gate, a troubled trip, and you know, 99.9 out of 100 first-time two-year-old starters, the race would have been over with the way the race started for him. But he came back and won it impressively. And there was just so much buzz about Jonathan's Way, and that really spilled over into Bodie's Rose and wound up being good for Pocket Ace.
And we started getting phone calls the next day.
Oh yeah, the next day. It was so impressive. People were wanting to know about Bodie's Rose, that's for sure.
And at that point, we were planning on, you know, bringing, you know, Bodie's Rose was just getting a little break, and we were just about to bring her back to, you know, put her in for another $5,000 claiming race.
And we had to retire. Yeah, we had to retire because her ovaries were worth more than her racing ability at the time.
The great irony.
Yeah. I mean, if we'd have run her where she could have won at that point in her career, somebody would have taken her from us. So, you know, we retired. And Malia picked up her first win around the same time too. So that was good to finish up, or you know, being black type, we she'd already accomplished that, but we wanted to get the win as well. And she pulled through and picked up her win at Belterra in September. And I think, you know, she accomplished so much in 2024. Black type win. She wrapped up the year with a good effort the other day. I think she's going to have a big year in 2025.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, in September, you know, as I think many people know, and, you know, some of our new listeners are about to find out, Keeneland September is, I think, I know it is for Jared, it is the highlight of the year for a lot of people. It is the granddaddy of all yearling sales. I've heard it affectionately called. And we had a fantastic Keeneland September sale. We had, four very nice prospects, including Irish Aces's half-brother by Tis the Law, who's, I think at this point, if not the year leading first crop sire, I don't think they've decided it yet, but we'll probably get a presser about it pretty soon, but he's up there. He was in contention to being the leading first crop sire. We picked up a beautiful Twirling Candy filly. We picked up a really nice Silver State colt and a colt by Munnings, which for a lot of people it really doesn't, you know, Munnings doesn't need much of an introduction. He just seems to be throwing horses that win everything lately. But we had a great September sale.
Yeah, I'm as happy with this bunch as any bunch we've ever walked away with. I probably say that every year, but they're like our kids, you know. We bought them for a reason. I would say that this bunch, now that, you know, we bought them in September through December, I'm just as happy with every one of them as the day we bought them. Knock on wood, there's been no setbacks, no problems with everyone. So far, what we've asked them to do, they've handled. Their minds seem to be good. And, you know, a Silver State, a Twirling Candy, a Munnings, a Tis the Law. I mean, for the money we spent, I think we got some great value to this point.
Oh, absolutely. And I think our partners responded incredibly well to them, too. We had a lot of people who were very enthusiastic, obviously, about the Tis the Law half-brother to Irish Aces, but we had a lot of folks who, when they came out to the open house in October, were extremely happy with what they saw, and they're developing so nicely now. Like, the farms, you know, don't seem to be able to stop talking about them. They just, all the folks out there just love them to pieces.
Yes, yeah. So far, so good.
So, yeah, you know, the response from the open house, the fall open house, which was the first time we've ever had to implement a big giant tour bus to get everybody from farm to farm to farm. So that was a little bit different. But, you know, everybody was, I think, really impressed with all the horses that they saw. And, you know, the biggest complaint that I got was, I don't know which one I want to get in on. And, you know, so that was kind of the... you know, the biggest issue that we had, and I think we still got some people that are wrestling and that are wanting to get in on more, but, you know, maybe they've kind of hit their cap and hit their limit. So, I mean, I think this is an exceptional group of yearlings, now 2-year-old. I'll tell you, happy birthday to all the horses.
That's right.
And, you know, just really looking forward to seeing where they go. And we've got one, you know, in that Munnings colt that, I mean, sounds like, you know, assuming no setbacks, and, you know, obviously that is a danger at any time, but he could be the earliest runner we've ever had as a 2-year-old, as the way it seems to be shaping up at this point.
There's a couple of them that are at his level right now, but talking with Dermot, he is the one that physically looks like he doesn't need as much time. He is... he is closer to being a finished product than some of the others. There's a couple other the Colts that kind of got to the same level as him, but we know that we can look at him and say they've got two or three growth spurts ready to go in. With him, we're going to give the Munnings a chance to be early. We're not going to get in his way. We're going to, you know, but, you know, the tentative plan is to have him at the racetrack in April, unless his body tells us that's not going to work. So he's got a chance to be, you know, one of the earlier two-year-olds we've had.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and you know, kind of rolling into that thought, our spending didn't quite end there. In October, we did pick up the Colt by Maximus Mischief, I believe. And we also picked up towards the end of October, maybe early November, we picked up Misty Memories. He was our first European import from the Tattersall's Horses and Training sale called the Hit Sale. And that combined, I think Misty Memories was our cutoff, I think, for the year at that point, because it was obviously a little bit different having to get him over here. There is a whole pond across this time for him. But that, I mean, I think, you know, for the Maximus Mischief Colt especially, we had an extremely good response to him, to where, you know, a couple folks from Silver Springs were even like, how do I get in on him? Like, he's so good looking.
Yeah, and, you know, real quick, but, you know, before we started buying in October, we did have Oscar Season going up and making his stakes debut in the Hawthorne Derby.
That's right.
He ran third in a really nice effort, a lot of traffic. Put in one heck of a performance, and then
nice, you know, horses in that race too.
Very nice horses in that race, and you know, we started looking for yearlings in Europe, you know, early on in the month, and did a lot of work trying to get something done but it never did come to fruition. So then we ended up looking at the Horse of Racing Age sale over there, and that's how we ended
horses
up
and with, training.
Yeah, Horses and Training sale. And that's how we ended up with Misty Memories. And you know, right before we did that, we did get the Maximus Mischief Colt, who is, man, he is a looker. And, you know, it was, that was one of those where, you know, thankfully, maybe he slipped through the cracks a little bit there, because Mark was going to go way over budget on him if he didn't. So,
Ethan was trying to buy it for one of his other clients, and I didn't know Ethan was there. I think I told you this story.
Yeah.
Ethan, I did know he was there. I bumped into him earlier in the day. And then I just kind of see him around the ring as this horse is there. And I don't really think much about it. But I go after this guy, and I was willing to spend even more money. And I just remember Ethan, like, well, did you get that horse? I didn't have enough money to get him, but I wanted him. And I know Ethan was really high on him too. He's just he is an excellent physical specimen. He is exceptionally athletic, exceptionally strong in all the right places, and not heavy in the wrong places. So I just wanted to comment on Misty Memories. That was a great experience. I hope it's something that we can expand on with Pocket Aces Racing going forward. A lot of people, a lot of owners are having success going to Europe and bringing horses over. It makes sense for an American, because they can't make it, you know, we don't focus on, you know, it's a having fun, not making money venture. But in Europe, it's really,
fun, don't make money venture. It is absolutely.
In America, it's having fun. Maybe you can make some money, you know, if you get a good horse or, you know, pay their way. In Europe, there's just no money involved. So the point being, there are owners over there who, a lot more owners over there, just breed, get them running, and sell them to Americans, because they can't make any money with them over there. So, and the Americans are going over there buying them. In America, There's more money on offer for turf horses than there ever has been. We're uniquely situated close to Kentucky Downs, so it's a route I would like to see Pocket Aces taking year after year after year, because I think there's going to be great opportunities over there.
Patty seconds that.
Yeah. And just something else I wanted to mention was, you know, it was really exciting for me personally, because in the early 90s, I worked for companies that worked for Sheikh Mohammed, and the clients were Sheikh Mohammed and Coolmore. So I'd go over there a lot, you know, back in the early 90s, but I was an assistant to an assistant to, you know, I was carrying people's luggage, you know, going over this. So personally, it was a kick for me to be back involved in on that stage, and, you know, kind of having gotten our own racing syndicate back to that kind of level, which, you know, was personally fulfilling for me. But anyway, hopefully we can, you know, continue it.
Hopefully moving forward, the exchange rate works a little more.
Yeah, no, I thought of that too. What was it? 100,000 guineas was like 130,000 American or something like that?
Well, you betcha.
Yeah, that is a good point. You know, whether or not we're going to be able to exploit it, the thing is, and they're not cheap. Those Europeans over there know that Americans are coming over there to get these horses to run in big purses in America. You know, and that will be the, if it doesn't work out, I think that will be the downfall. Is things like the exchange rate, and they just cost too much. We paid plenty for Misty Memories, but you know,
he was very well received. I think for all the costs, he was well received.
Yeah. He you know, adding the cost to, you know, keep him over there, bring him over here, all those added expenses, the exchange rate, it's not a no brainer. We're going to need to see something from him. All indications are, as of right now, that he's doing super, and knock wood, is on target to run in the next 4 to 6 weeks. I'm just very hopeful for that whole situation, that it's good for us and we can keep doing it.
Yeah, I was so thrilled when Jared was like, yeah, we're kind of looking at Tattersalls. And I was like, Patty does nothing half-assed. So I was like, yes, let's go. And I went through the whole book. And I was like, I had more tabs in that book than there were probably horses. But I was jazzed. I was so excited. So I'm thrilled that Pocket Aces finally kind of gets to kind of play an arena that I keep pretty good tabs on. In terms of the European and the international racing scene. So I personally am extremely excited to see how this venture works out for us and for the partners as well. I know a great number of the partners are extremely excited about him too. So,
And I think we started a really, another key, if this works out, we started a really good relationship with somebody who's really good at what they do over there.
Oh, yeah.
Ted Durkin. I think Ted could be a key for us going forward.
So absolutely. So moving into November, that kind of also bleeds into, that's where the import stuff is done. Misty Memories arrives in the United States. But also, you know, we did have some tough luck, I think, in on the racing side as well, where Oscar Season ran lights out, I think, in a Churchill allowance on November the 2nd. And you say it's a heartbreaker when they lose the photo, but, you know, he was, I think it was like a head or something. He just was on the bad end of the bob, but he ran so well, I think, for that allowance.
I was there for that race, and you know, I hate to make too many, you know, the knee jerk when things don't go well is to make a lot of excuses. The horse, the rider, the trainer, whatever. And I think most times in my experience, the horse just wasn't good enough that day, you know, or didn't get the breaks that day. Felt like the rider moved a little early on him in that race. I it was just rarely do I have just a, you know, you have this kind of crystal clear as it happens thought about the race. And it's, you know, a lot of times you need to dissect it, look at the splits and da da da. But I just, I saw him make that move too early, and I think it cost us. It was a bad beat, you know. It's, I can still picture my, you know, close my eyes and think, God, he can't keep that up from that far away, you know. And but anyway, things, he's got a ton of talent. Oscar season's going to be one of our greats. I knock wood, and he stays healthy going forward, and you know, he bounced back from that race just fine. So
yeah, well, and you know, we'll roll into it. We just left the month, but we, you know, we got to recap it. So December, I think was a few very interesting runs, I think, for us. Diamond Eye Jack had his debut right at the very beginning of the month. I think ran a pretty good third, considering we never thought he was going to be a sprinter, and that's something we mentioned to several people on several occasions, that this was just always going to be a starting point for him. So, but he, I mean, I think he ran, he made a, you know, he spoke well of himself, for that debut. And then Oscar season, for all his bad luck he had last month, he finally broke through on and won a Gulfstream allowance the same day on December the 7th. And then we had Malaya, who ran, you know, she's kind of just been knocking at the top part of these, you know, top part of the tote boards for this whole year. And like Jared said earlier, she's done so much this year as a 2-year-old. And she ran third in a Mahoney allowance. And then Tricky Tracky was our final start of the year for Pocket Aces Racing, like December the 28th or something like that. Where last year, I think we had somebody run like New Year's Eve or something like that. This year it was December the 28th was our last start of the year with Tricky Tracky.
Yeah, and you know, like I said, like Mark prefaced earlier, you know, it took a while for us to get going. You know, we had that one race, one win real quick in January with Bodie's Rose, but the rest of the year was kind of the rest of the spring was kind of it was kind of tough. But once we did get going, I mean, we accomplished a lot this year. I mean, it was the most purse money we've ever won in a given year, and you know, most wins per start in a given year, and so it was a, you know, we had some successes. Obviously we always want more successes, and really looking forward to what 2025 is going to offer, and we're going to get the 2025 season kicked off here in about an hour and 15 minutes as we're recording, with King of the Party at Turfway, and Oathbreaker at Turfway. And then just while we're mentioning Turfway, holy smokes, Turfway Racing so far this meet has just been unbelievable.
And it used to be that, this is just my theory, but it used to be the meet got a lot easier after the holiday meet, and then when the winter meet started, you know, on January 1st. But I with this increased purse structure, I think it's going to stay difficult there. And, you know, Jared and I are spending a lot of time looking at race results, performance figures, getting calibrated to the new realities in Kentucky. What is a maiden 15? What is a maiden 30? What is a maiden special weight? And there's a little bit of adjustment, but I think we're making that adjustment. I'd also want to point out that 2025 is our 20th anniversary year. And so I think it's obviously, just because of that, it's a big, big year for Pocket Aces Racing. But I think we're positioned at the beginning of this year as strongly as we have ever been. We've got a lot of bullets in our ammo belt there, I think, and it already is a big year, but I think we'll make it a big year on the track too.
Exactly. We've had, you know, Pocket Aces Racing had it's not cheeky to say Pocket Aces Racing had a record year in 2024, and you know, from my end on the back end, the partner experience end, we had a fantastic year with the Stable Connect app that we partnered with. We're posting videos as soon as we get them. We're posting photos. You know, we're able to provide so much for you guys. And I was just recently on a call with the team behind Stable Connect, and they were just telling me about some really exciting changes that are on the horizon. Their timeline kind of says early spring, but we all know technology's technology, so it'll do as it pleases. But they're so excited. They're gonna implement, you know, so many of what some of you guys have been telling us, that things you would like to see change, improvements that you've suggested. They've been listening to us, and they've been, you know, kind of collecting their notes and getting their ducks in a row here. And I'm really looking forward personally, and I think a lot of you will be very excited as well to see the changes that are coming in early spring. And our YouTube channel has been moving along. We had quite a few series that went live this year. There was the Cut the Deck series that we partnered with Dave Brown on. I actually sat down and recorded kind of like a Cut the Deck year in review with him. We sat down, you know, a couple days ago, and we had a good chat about, you know, his thoughts on how the series went and kind of what he wants to do going forward in the future, and, you know, any you know, thoughts that we had on how we thought 2024 went. So, and that'll also be going up on the YouTube pretty soon. So you guys make sure that you're subscribed so you can see that when it goes up. But we also started Pocket Aces Racing TV, and we started sales recaps, and you guys have responded so incredibly well to those, especially the sales recaps. I think our sales recaps are consistently some of the videos where we have just the most views. So you guys have loved those. So as often as I can drag Jared back into the office, we'll do them this year as well. But they've been incredibly well received. I'm very happy and very excited that you guys have liked them. So hopefully we'll be able to keep doing that for you guys in 2025. But other than that, that wraps our year in review. Again, we had a fantastic 2024, and I think as well as Jared and Mark, I think we're really looking forward to 2025 this year. I think if you guys agree.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Like I say, 20-year anniversary, I think it's going to be a special year. And, you know, we're going to win the owner's title at Kentucky Downs, have these horses running in a, you know, Oscar season and Irish Aces. Just who knows where those horses could take us this year. And there's a couple others I feel like that are, you know, Diamond Eye Jack, you know, he's got a big race coming up. You know, talking to Brendan, he could be right in the vein of those kind of horses, especially if we get him going longer. So I just think all the signs are pointing to a big year in 25.
Absolutely. And Jared, any thoughts for you for what, maybe a wish list or anything you want to see for 2025?
I want healthy horses, happy horses, and I want wins, and I want to increase what we've been doing on all of our partner outreach in terms of communication and the YouTube channel, just like you're talking about. And I know I'm as guilty as anybody of putting off of recordings, especially recordings of my ugly mug on video, which we definitely want to do more of. And looking forward to bringing new people into the stable, and into the partnership, and bringing and keeping the folks that we have happy and informed, and getting them as many win pictures as we can possibly get them.
Yeah, absolutely. I like that. I like both of yours. My wish list, I'll cheat and I'll combine both of yours and say ditto. Because if I get chatty, this video is not going to end for the next 20 minutes. But other than that, I think we've ended on a good note. We've ended on a very upbeat and forward-looking note. So I will end this recording with saying it's a little too late for it to go out on Wednesday, I think. But have a happy Thursday. Have a good Thursday. Make good choices. And the podcast is out. And once again, have a very happy, very healthy 2025.